The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
We've got a busy, busy hour of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good evening. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Taking your phone calls throughout the entire hour on anything Bears or NFL related. At the end of the hour, we'll award the best caller of the 60-minute show a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So again, 312-644-6767, the number to call and talk to us. And let's start with the biggest news of the week for the Bears, and that is that Alshon Jeffrey will definitely be a Bear for the 2016 season. The Bears electing to place the franchise tag on Jeffrey. That doesn't mean that it's just a one-year deal, because they still have the opportunity, Jim, to negotiate until July 15th. On a long-term deal.
Right, yeah, they've got 4 months. And I think, Ryan Pace was playing his cards right. You know, all indicators were they were working on a long-term contract, could not agree to the deal. Thus, the Bears end up slapping the franchise tag. And I think at the end of the day, you understand it. I was thinking possibly they'd do the transition. But now when you look at the draft, it's not a wide receiver draft full of star-studded talent like we've seen in past years, like when the Bears drafted Alshon Jeffrey. And then I think it's a function of free agency as well. You know, there's not a lot of guys out there. You know, you got probably Travis Benjamin of the Cleveland Browns. You got Marvin Jones and Sanu from the Cincinnati Bengals. One guy came available today, Roddy White. He was released by the Atlanta Falcons. But we know the Bears want to get younger, not older. He's already 11 years in the National Football League. So I think they hedge their bet. They want to keep their top weapon because they still don't know, where Kevin White's health is at. I think they expect him to be ready to training camp. So, hey, their most productive guy, they retain his rights minimum for a year. But as you said, they have 4 months now to work out a long-term deal, and that may come to pass with Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears.
And this is the slowest draft class since 2009. Is that correct,
right,
Jim?
That
and
is
so
correct.
There's no immediate incentive right there to go out and find that guy that has incredible height, incredible speed, jumping power, and all this. So it probably focuses a little bit more interest in Alshon Jeffrey. And it would be nice to see if Ryan Pace and John Fox could have a real educated discussion with Alshon Jeffrey to see where he's at, to see where his commitment is at. Is he committed to an offseason that's going to consist of workouts that are so hard and so rigorous that when the season comes around, it's not going to be an injury-plagued season? That's the worst-case scenario for the Bears. And it's the worst-case scenario for Alshon Jeffrey, because I think it's going to decrease his value if he does only have the one-year deal. The best thing for the Bears and Alshon Jeffrey is to sign a long-term deal. Alshon Jeffrey be totally committed to the offseason to make sure that he's on the field for 16 games, and that's immediately going to make the Chicago Bears a better football team, because you saw what Alshon could do when he was on the field, but just imagine him on the field healthy for 16 games.
And we're talking about a guy, and Jim can expand on this, we're talking about a guy who's 26 years old. So
right. You
can still change habits. There's a lot of football left in Alshon Jeffrey. And I think, you know, I keep saying, go look at his physique when he was at South Carolina. Highly productive player, but nowhere near the kind of physical shape he's in now. And look at how much he's improved that area. So given the opportunity to train the way the Bears want him to train, you know, he's spending this offseason training at Jay Glazer's gym in Los Angeles.
I think in those terms he regressed last year. I don't think there was the commitment in the offseason to what is needed during the season. In every NFL player, Jim, you know it, no matter what position it is, if you don't have a commitment to the offseason, it's really hard to be there during the season.
Specifically, what does that mean?
It means, you know, when everybody goes to the combine, they go, oh, I hate the 40, or I hate this drill or that drill. It's not necessarily the instance of the 40. It's the hours and hours and hours of dedication that you need in the weight room, on the track, in order to run that 40 to the level that you can get out of yourself. And that's what shows. It's not the 4 seconds that you see him on the track. It's the 150 to 250 hours that he's dedicated to the weight room and to the different type of details that you have in focusing how to run the proper 40. That's the commitment that you get to see out of the 4 second 40.
Well, and that's, you know, Tom's right about that dedication shows up. You know, whether the bench press, people are going to know whether you spend that time in the weight room by the amount of times you put up that 225-pound bar. I mean, they're going to know it. Just like when they watch the tape and maybe your team is getting blown out in the fourth quarter, they're going to see if you're still playing hard, how much you love football, how much your heart is into it. So there are all those indicators out there, and I don't know where it goes. I think probably Tom's right. The Bears are probably using that as leverage. Say, hey, how committed are you to getting yourself in the best shape as possible? Otherwise, we know you're going to be committed because we just slapped the franchise tag on it. You got 1 year to prove it to not only this football team but all the 31 other teams in the National Football League if they're going to give you a long-term contract after you serve under this franchise tag, if that's the case. Because that amount of dedication is there, because you know it as a player. For him to generate the highest contract possible, he is going to have to, if he does play under the tag and they don't work out a long-term contract, it needs to be a great year out of Alshon Jeffrey, and that dedication most likely is going to show itself.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. You know, I heard Matt Forte say something about this, and he wasn't talking specifically about Jeffrey, but when it comes to what is commonly known in the NFL as those, quote, soft tissue injuries, the thing that he mentioned was that it's not the work that you do at Halas Hall at training camp. It's the work prior to coming right. into the facility. Right. And he talked about stretching, about the food that you eat when you're not anywhere near the facility. It's about getting your rest, all the things that you don't think of unless you're a professional athlete and want to sustain a long career.
I say it all the time. It's a training camp is not some test that you can cram for. You can't cram for it. I mean, coaches are going to know instantly, you know, through the, you know, the testing that you do when you arrive, whether they do gassers or whatever test the coaches have for you. Some do 40s, whatever it is.
Yeah, the conditioning drills, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to know what type of shape you're in. You see a lot of teams hold guys out because they know because weight's an issue and they're breathing too hard and all those type of things. And they say, you want to know what? We're going to sit you out pretty much the first week because they're worried about it from a liability standpoint. You're going to go out there and get yourself hurt when you're not in shape. And so it shows, but it's not some test that you can cram for. If you think you're going to show up 2 weeks before you go to training camp, say, yeah, you know, I think I'm just going to go out and run the route tree a couple, you know, seven times this week, and I should be ready for training camp. That's not how it works out. It will show itself to not only you, the organization, the coaches, your teammates will know whether you've put in the time in the offseason, prepare yourself so that they can count on you all season long. It shows up very quickly.
You know, you go out to any media sports outlet out there, whether it be radio, TV, and you look at these guys talk about, they evaluate Matt Forte and where he can line up. They have a tremendous amount of respect for Matt Forte because he's always been the model citizen, making sure that he works hard in the offseason so he's prepared during the season. And I think it shows by his accomplishments on the field. Now, you say Alshon Jeffrey's 26 and he had an injured season. You go to 27, you had an injured season. Now you're an injured player, and you don't have that same 20-something tab on you because now there's too many question marks. That's why Alshon Jeffrey has to reinvest in himself. And again, it's a personal commitment. It's not if you need to be dragged into the gym every day by a trainer or something, that has question marks about it too. You have to be excited about driving yourself to the gym, getting in there and doing what's ever required of you to be the top athlete you need to be considered.
And this is a super gifted player. I think
Correct.
Lost in all
Correct.
This, you know, I heard someone say this and it's true. When there were times last year when Alshon Jeffrey was on the field, it didn't matter how many defenders the other team had on the field. It was as though Jay Cutler was playing catch just with Jeffrey, and he was always open. That's why the Bears decided to place the franchise tag. That's why the Bears don't want to lose this guy. Now the onus is on him to make sure that he's on the field more often, because when he is, he's a supreme difference maker.
And I think John Fox has cultivated an atmosphere out there that's very desirable to be in the NFL. What I've seen out of John Fox, as little as I know him after watching him one season, he'd be a guy that'd be great to play for.
Why? What stands out?
You know, his enthusiasm, his excitement for both sides, all three sides of the ball, offense, defense, and special teams. The way he talks to his players, the way he gives them the respect, and the way he gets respected back. I think that he has an atmosphere that, you know, has that division championship attached to it. And that's what he's looking for, and that's what he's always shown. He has the ability to lead these men, too.
Free agency begins a week from today. It'll already be underway next Wednesday at this time. What I want to know is, Jim spent the entire week in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. When we come back, what were the strengths that he saw with the talent coming into the draft? Because I think that'll help us understand what the Bears are thinking from a free agency standpoint. That's next. Jim Miller is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority on Bears All Access. Brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears present Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, from what I'm told, and you know, I have a few birdies that let me know what's going on, it's an encore presentation. Kyle Long combines two of his passions, food and helping people. A Medal of Honor recipient visits Hallis Hall, and Jonathan Anderson buckles up for big guys in compact cars. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to join us here on Bears All Access.
Kyle should be a waiter, because that's the best of both, helping people and food.
You know, from what I understand, this week he tweeted, and Jim Miller's along as well, the former Bears quarterback, he tweeted this week that occasionally he helps out the cutlers by babysitting the little cutlets.
Very good.
Yeah, so he's he does a little bit of everything. He can play on the inside of the offensive line, he can play on the outside, and he can also not only protect the quarterback, but protect his kids. You got to love it. Multi-talented.
You got to be a good babysitter. It tells you you're a good human being.
Hey, speaking of Kyle Long, by the way, guys, speaking of Kyle Long, and it's good to bring him up, because I know a lot of people hear us say that, well, Alshon Jeffrey's training with Jay Glazer out in California. Kyle Long's a big proponent,
right,
of training that way. We had him on a Bears All Access during training camp, Tom, last year. And can you kind of explain exactly what that training involves?
I think it has a lot of MMA roots, the mixed martial arts. And whenever you're talking about that, it's a combination of wrestling, on-the-ground type of work. It's on-your-feet type of boxing work. It's different strength exercises that attack different muscles in a way that you don't necessarily work them in a weight room, but you need the balance, you need the strength of all the tendons, ligaments, and everything that surrounds the muscles in your body. And, hey, I like the fact that Alshon is in an atmosphere where there's other NFL players, other teammates in there, and even a guy like Jay Glazer, because he's pretty fit himself if you look at him. So I like the fact that he's already invested himself in a program that could help him maybe do something to his body that he's never done before in the past.
Well, the conditioning of it. I mean, well, it's funny here because we were just talking about Roddy White. People don't know this about Roddy White. Think of that, 11 seasons. There for the Atlanta Falcons, and he has like 16,000 yards or whatever it is, something crazy like that. But years 2006, I think it was, through 2012, that was an 1,100 to 1,300 yard receiver. You know, a couple of years got double digit touchdowns. You know what he did in high school? He was a wrestler.
Hey,
he actually won states when he was in high school as a wrestler, as a wide receiver, and he was in the toughest weight class. For Roddy White. So again, when you talk about like conditioning, when you go in, whether you're boxing or wrestling, and you got that 3 minute clock going, people don't realize how physically draining that is.
312-6.
It takes it out of you.
Sorry, Jim. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's go out to the phones. We're going to get Jim's take on what stood out to him at the NFL Scouting Combine, and if it gives us a better indicator of what the Bears are going to be doing a week from today when free agency starts in the National Football League. Let's go to Lee in Aurora. Lee, you are on Bears All Access.
Yeah, hi. I've got a question about Hronis Gresthoop. I know Okay. Everybody's concerned. I understand everybody's concerned about him bulking up. My concern was as his first step as a center. It seemed to me that sometimes that the defense was getting into him rather than him getting into the defense with his first step. The reason this stands out to me is as a young person, I played center, and I was concerned about that. If he's not got a really great first step, and I don't think it's going to help much how much his bulk is.
Well, you know, Lee, that's a good question. I think when we watched Hronas Grasu, I think his first start was against the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and they have some pretty good interior defensive linemen. And he had a lot of confidence shooting his hands inside and getting a good grip on the opponent. But then it's about bringing your feet with you. And I do think that's some of the little nuances of the game that Hronas Grasu will have to learn in time. But then defenses, if they feel there's something that they can approach on a young football player, they're going to put defensive linemen in awkward positioning to try to really challenge what they feel he doesn't do the best. But I do think that in his growth pattern, that Hronas is going to be able to he needs to get the strength to match his hand speed and then bring the feet along with him. And I think the more he gets to understand NFL defenses, the more he gets to understand his own offense, the better he will be. But you're also going to have to make sure that you have a good matchup with the offensive guards you're playing against, because I do think it's a little bit unfair to think that the offense, that the center can do this is a one-man job, because it's usually not. The center is usually involved in different combination blocks with center or the guards on each side of them. So it is about a three-man group to the inside. But Hronas, and then when he went and hurt his neck, I think that was maybe a little bit of a deterrent about being really aggressive with your head and your hands together, trying to make sure that you're almost protecting yourself to get the job done. And I do think that he'll be able to grow through that, work through it. And I do think Hronas has a tremendous upside. And I think it's challenging for any rookie, but a rookie center even as much, especially when you have offensive guards switching all the time. So I do have a great deal of faith that Coach Dave Magazu, the offensive line coach, will get the best out of Hronas here in the future.
And the Bears tried to protect Hronas Grasu in the early going. They signed a veteran by the name of Will Montgomery. He got hurt in the early going of the season, which forced Grasu probably to play faster than I think initially anticipated.
Well, they went to Slauson, and then they went to Hronas Grasu right after that. So I do think there is some growing pains that you go through, but again, I do think Hronas has a tremendous upside.
Jim, you were in Indy for the NFL Scouting Combine. What are the position groups where there's a surplus, where when the Bears are picking, you know you don't have to worry about getting a certain guy at a certain position, which kind of gives us an idea of where they may be looking in free agency, because those positions might be weak in this draft?
Right. Well, there's a ton of great D linemen in this draft, and there's a lot of great pass rushers. I think it is somewhat thin, say, at the inside backer position. One guy who I loved, who I interviewed, and to me he would be a Mike inside, like the first strong inside backer in a 3-4 defense, which is an area that the Bears need. Certainly you'd throw out Reggie Ragland of Alabama, who's outstanding and can do it all, and he's also played outside as well, kind of proved that at the Senior Bowl. But get to know Joshua Perry out of Ohio State. That guy is a solid guy, team captain, just tremendous character, and he's about 254 pounds. If you're running a 3-4 and you need a strong inside backer, a thumper, Joshua Perry definitely fits that bill. But there's a ton of pass rushers, a lot of tweeners like Leonard Floyd from Georgia. He's somewhat of a pass rusher in a 3-4 defense. I don't think the Bears are looking for help in that area. But in terms of defensive linemen, tackles, Alabama has a couple of guys, A'shaun Robinson, that we're going to bring up. That guy can play everything. He can play zero technique. He can play five technique in a 3-4. And I think his teammate Jerron Reed isn't far off from him at Alabama. So, but a ton of defensive linemen is really where the surplus is in this draft. There's a couple of good offensive linemen in terms of the tackles. I think Jack Conklin helped himself at Michigan State. But then you point really to the safety population, which the Bears, I do think, need a safety, because you look at Roll's age and where he's at, and he was hurt last season. There's a lot of good, you know, obviously the top cornerback, but he's really a hybrid free safety would be Jalen Ramsey from Florida State. But in terms of if you're looking inside at the safety position, Von Bell of Ohio State, great stuff is being said about Jeremy Cash, who's the ACC Player of the Year. He was outstanding with all the turnovers. He's a blitzing safety as well. Darian Thompson from Boise State is getting a love. Get to know Miles Killebrew. This guy's a thumper, 6'2", 219 pounds. And Sean Davis from Maryland is not far off of Jalen Ramsey in terms of the numbers, in terms of his vertical and everything. He's a free safety out of Maryland, 6'1", 201. The other thing I'll throw out there is about another backer, Miles Jack, from UCLA. And the reason why I throw this out there, when I interviewed him at the Combine, teams are looking at him like a Cam Chancellor type of player. I thought that was interesting because we all assume, hey, he's going to play backer. You know, he was a running back there. He played backer. He played safety. The guy's a great athlete. But teams think of him as a Cam Chancellor type of player, and you wonder with where the Bears select, if he'll, one, if he'll even be there, because I think teams think that highly of him, but he's coming off of that ACL tear. But I thought that was interesting how teams were looking at Miles Jack out of UCLA.
What about the Notre Dame star backer, Jalen Smith? And there were reports that there might be nerve damage in the knee, and it may be significant to the point where he may not go in the first round. Is that just talk? Is that smokescreen talk, or is that legit?
According to what the people we talked to, I know Pat talked to a couple of GMs, and they said it was a legit in terms of the nerve damage. The guy you could compare him to would be the South Carolina running back Lattimore. Remember, San Francisco still
Marcus
drafted
Lattimore,
him.
Yeah,
but he's going to fall a couple rounds. I mean, that's there. You know, all it takes is one team to love you, and they think that their medical competitive advantage thinks that he'll be okay. I mean, that's really all it takes, because he is that talented of a player. But I think there are legit concerns about where his knee is at right now, which is unfortunate for the kid because it was his bowl game. I mean, it's just the timing of it, his bowl game, and now this report comes out. He's not even a couple months off of that bowl game, and here he's got to go to the combine, and they're diving and digging into his knee. And really the indicator of nerve damage is he's still got a knee brace on, and that is really the indicator that there's nerve damage.
One thing about Smith from Notre Dame is you have to have the luxury of still having some young linebackers in there that he doesn't have the immediate need to go out there and play at the start of OTAs, But then you talk about guys that have a character issue. It's weird because some of these guys have tarnished their character so much that teams are really a little sketchy about even in getting them into their camp. But then you have a guy that has health issues that if you don't have the luxury of having people in place already, maybe you don't have that luxury either of picking a guy that has first-round talent and, you never know what his future can be.
The other thing that stands out to me is a lot of times now they show every combine drill on TV. So you can watch just like the evaluators watch. And I think a lot of people just roll their eyes like, how is this going to help you be a football player if you're running a 40 in essentially underwear without your pads on? But, Tom, it's the work that you put in to have these good times that says a lot about your football character.
Right. I'm telling you, from the day my college season ended until the day I went to my first combine, I lived in the weight room, lived doing these drills. That was my only goal, my only aspiration was to make sure I was able to achieve at the combine to get a solid evaluation. And again, I had three combines I had to go through because that's the way it was back then. But again, that's what I do get frustrated when I listen to the commentators talk about what is this drill for? What is the relevance of it? Again, it's not the relevance of the time it takes you to do the drill. It's the hours that you put into it to do that drill at such a high level. These NFL evaluators are going, holy cow, this guy's incredible. He can jump out of the gym. He's got leg strength. He's got the ability to recover from 140 to the next. And, you know, I think that kind of goes understated a little bit because of they're losing the fact that the hours that these guys have invested in themselves to go out there and try to impress the evaluators.
Jim, do you look at it the same way?
Yeah, I think you want to see the fluidity of movement. And I think, again, what's interesting is all these coaches are still evaluating those players. How does the player react after a slow 40? I'll give you a case in point. I'm not going to name the DB's name, but there was a drill that they were doing and the kid could not get the drill right. He couldn't get the drill right. He couldn't take the coaching points and apply it of how they wanted the drill run. So coaches are taking notes on that. This is a simple drill. What's the problem here? You know, all those things are being evaluated. You know, how you react to questions, how you react to the things that I just mentioned.
You know, there's what's a funny? Lot of Tom's there's laughing. A lot of he's whispering the name.
Yeah, there's a lot of information you can get just by watching players. I mean, it was funny because I talked to Pete Carroll, head coach of the Seahawks, and he said Bud Grant taught him the greatest lesson when he started out coaching at the Minnesota Vikings, because they had to, you know, we had this drill called power trainings where you jog around the field and then you do sit-ups, stuff like that. And so the players took off to jog around the field and Pete Carroll turned his back to the players. And Bud Grant was like, hey, what the hell are you doing? He goes, look at how much information you're losing right now. Who's in first? Who's in last? Who's in the middle of the pack? Who's looks like they're winded? Who's, you know, just all that type of information. There's just a lot of information just watching guys run a jogging around the field. You know, and I just thought that was pretty interesting. I think a lot of coaches view it that way. And Jason Garrett also brought that up. It's just watching players and how they react. There's a ton of information that you can get from these players, even when they're down on the field going from drill to drill.
You know, and every year that I played for Coach Ditka, we used to have to come on the practice field, do 5 pull-ups, and then run 2 laps around the field. And it was it's not a big deal. It was just something to get warmed up. But Coach Ditka used to recognize people that didn't do it. And then if there ever became a time or a practice when somebody was having a bad day or they weren't giving the effort that was expected of them, he could draw back to that. Look, I'm not having big requirements for you to warm up, but I do want you to do 5 pull-ups and 2 laps. In some time during the course, even professionals that are 10 years into their career, he still has that challenge of the discipline that he wants you, the second you get on that practice field, to show the desire to be there. So, I mean, it's haunting whether you're a college kid or 10 years into your career.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. The best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. When we come back, you heard Jim lay out the strengths of the NFL Scouting Combine. So what does it mean when free agency starts next week? Where will the Bears be focused? We'll discuss next right here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you along. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. All right, so free agency in the National Football League, the new year, the 2016 league year, begins a week from today. When free agency starts, Jim, based on what you know from the draft and the strengths of this draft, free agency comes first. Where do you think the Bears are going to focus in next week when it comes time to signing somebody?
Well, I think, again, you go to, you know, they want to address the backer position. I don't know. Are they interested in a guy like Darrell Freeman? He's in the 3-4 inside backer. I mean, guys, every year it seems like he gets 100 tackles for the Indianapolis Colts. You know, you already look at James Laurinaitis. He's getting looked at by the New Orleans Saints. There's another middle backer there that's played in both styles of defense. I think safety is very good in free agency. Reggie Nelson's a free agent from the Cincinnati Bengals. Talked today to Rashad Johnson out there for Arizona. He had 5 interceptions last year. And you'd like to think Vic Fangio, because he played in that division out there, knows what Rashad Johnson can do. And there's other good safeties, too. George Iloka's available for the Cincinnati Bengals. That is a big safety at the end of the day. Tashad Gibson is available from the Cleveland Browns. How about Eric Weddle from San Diego? Got to believe John Fox knows how he plays at the safety position, because they were in the same division in the AFC West. So, you know, I think those, again, I think corner, too. There's, you know, with Tremaine Johnson getting tagged for St. Louis, I would think the Bears would be interested in Janoris Jenkins or Sean Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. Because think about those, you know, Kansas City, that's a 3-4 defense, and Smith, that's why Marcus Peters had such a tremendous rookie year. I mean, Smith on the one side, that's a 6-4 corner out of Utah. Didn't work out in Miami. He's been a stud since he's arrived in Kansas City. 6-4 corner that can play extremely, extremely well. So I think corners, those two corners, the Bears would be interested in as well.
You hear any rumblings about the Denver free agents? Because of the immediate attraction between John Fox, and he knows these guys, he knows their work habits, he knows how they go about their business. You know, maybe you have enough interest, enough respect for one of these guys that you do dangle a little bit extra money in front of them just to see if they, you know, are, you know, want to jump on board and try to, you know, fit into this defense. And they know that they're going to come in here as an immediate starter on day one of OTAs.
No, we can't say it enough about Danny Trevathan. There's another backer that I forgot to mention who's an up-and-coming player. The guy is still very young, and I think Malik Jackson is tremendous. I think John Fox would love to have Malik Jackson in his defense. But, you know, supposedly from what I heard on the street, he's wanting between $13 to $15 million a year. I doubt that he gets that. But with what Denver potentially may have to pay Brock Osweiler, those guys could potentially become free for Denver. Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan, I do think the Bears will be very, very interested in signing those players.
They can't get enough help up front. When you think about the way the season ended and they were using five defensive linemen active against the Detroit Lions in the regular season finale that had not started training camp with the team. Think about that. And you can't win. You saw, just look at how the Panthers were able to dominate and get to the Super Bowl. Same thing with the Broncos. It was all because of the pressure up front and the ability to change the comfort level of the quarterback.
You know, one thing about the Carolina Panthers, they have two defensive tackles they drafted, and I think they mean a lot to their defense. I think they help the linebackers out a lot. They help the defensive end position a lot. So as much as you want to talk about the desirable free agents, I think if you can get those drafted guys that are here in 3 to 5 to 6 to 7 years, that's the key to long-term success. But you got to set your sights on an attractive defensive player out there that can really come in here and, you know, be an immediate leader in the locker room like we saw Pernell McPhee this year.
We heard the Bears say very nice things about Shea McClellan last week. Is that just because you want to leave all your options open and not give other teams an indication of what you might be thinking?
You know, I think so. Well, I'll just say I don't think you ever want to, close doors. You know, if you can't land the players that you want in free agency and you're unable to hit it in the draft, you know, who knows? Maybe as training camp approaches, you want to have the ability to go out and sign a guy. We've seen that happen numerous times. And so I just think the Bears aren't burning any bridges when it comes to Shea McClellan.
Yeah, I think, you know, you still have to have Shea open for evaluation because what you got out of him in his first year, the interior linebacker in Vic Fangio's system, maybe Vic recognizes things about Shea McClellan that none of us know because we're not sitting in meetings with him.
Right.
We're not sitting there watching tape, and you don't get to see the reaction drills that he goes through. So I do think I have so much respect for Vic Fangio that I don't ever think that he's ever going to go out there and put himself in front of a player if he doesn't believe the player has a future. So that's where I have a tremendous amount of trust and respect for Vic Fangio.
He mentioned last year that to be successful playing inside backer in a 3-4 scheme, you just have to have football instincts, stuff that you can't teach. You see it right away when the plays unfold, very similar to the safety position.
Right. The interior is about instincts. And, you know, you look at a couple of guys and, you know, I was impressed with the instincts of John Timu because I thought his initial reaction to the movement of the offense was quicker than the other linebackers they had. So some of it is because you've had a countless amount of reps at that position to be able to keep in the back of your mind for everything you're going to continue to experience. And those are the amount of reps that Shea still needs in order to get the instincts that some of these other guys have.
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Bears All Access. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Jim, from an offensive standpoint, we spent so much time talking about defense, and rightfully so, because that's where Ryan Pace was first focused when the season ended. They want more playmakers, want more speed defensively. But from an offensive standpoint, while the Bears were very competitive from an offensive standpoint last season, you know, one of the biggest playmakers they had was Zach Miller. I mean, a true playmaker, but he's a free agent, and he may not return next season, and we don't know what Martellus Bennett's future with this team is going to be, even though he's locked in. What do you do at that position?
Well, I think they're interested in re-signing Zach Miller. Again, it comes back to how much money and what he's going to garner out on the open market. And, I think he's a playmaker. Like you said, he showed his athleticism. I mean, I think back to that game against the Rams. What was it, a 70-yard touchdown on basically an arrow route, and he was outrunning the defensive backs out there. So I think they're very interested in re-signing him. And, you know, I'm interested to see how that Martellus Bennett situation works out, you know, because here you got a player, he's unhappy with his contract, wants a little bit more money, was injured last year. And, you know, as much fun as Martellus Bennett is, I think John Fox just wants football players. He really doesn't want to get caught up in the fun and games and those type of things. And I just think that's who John Fox is as a coach. Not that he doesn't want you to have fun as a player. I think John Fox makes things very fun. But I think the shtick act can wear you thin a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me if something happens on that action.
312-644-6767. To the phones we go. We'll begin the festivities in Flossmoor. Eric, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah. Last year we saw that the Bears did a little better than we all expected. But what I'm curious about is, with Kevin White having a full year ahead of him, do you think that him sharing reps with Alshon Jeffrey could lead to the Bears winning more or less games than last year? Thanks.
Well, I don't think he would share reps with Alshon Jeffrey. I think it'd be the offensive coordinator's dream, Dow Loggins, to get Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin on the field at the same time, along with a couple of other receivers and a big tight end. I think that's where you're going to see the explosiveness of this offense in a real help to Jay Cutler, because again, it'd still be run emphasis, but if you have those big receivers, there's a lot of things that could happen at the line of scrimmage.
As well as Eddie Royal, guys. We forget about him and what he was able to do in the slot. You never really got a chance to see it last year because of the injuries.
Yeah, and I've been saying it for a couple of years now. It's been a sore spot when you look at the slot receiver position, because that three wides, that personnel grouping is used so much. And obviously Eddie Royal, it was various things for him last year, and they never could get that position cranked up, and then it was a revolving door. But ideally, you'd have White as your X, Alshon as your Z, the strong side receiver, which is where he's best at, and then you put Eddie Royal in the slot, or potentially draft another guy, a guy who I absolutely love. Well, one, Braxton Miller out of Ohio State's getting a lot of love with what he can do. Very explosive player and just a tremendous athlete. But go check out this kid, Shepard, from Oklahoma, an absolute burner who can pick him up and put him down. He would be an impressive quick twitch guy if the Bears could land a player like that.
Schomburg, Tiffany, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say, because Jim was talking about earlier, and great evaluation from the combine, the defensive line is obviously deep in the draft. A lot of people are talking about the Bears taking Ezekiel Elliott. I don't like that. I'm great that they signed Alshon Jeffries back, because that's one less need. But, Jim, you're talking about the safeties out there, and there's not a lot of them. My question is to you and Tom. Tom, I was against maybe drafting an 11th pick, drafting a lineman, but I wanted to ask if a lineman is the best decision right now since the defensive line is deep, or a safety. And then also the big talk is Ryan Pace always drafts a quarterback or wants to. Jim, is there anybody that you see in the late rounds that the Bears could go after as a quarterback?
I think this class isn't as bad as what you think for quarterbacks. I mean, granted, you know, everybody's going to say, hey, they're just not the stars, have the star power of last year when you look at Marcus Mariota and what, the kid from Florida State did as well. So Jameis Winston. But, you know, to me, there's some diamonds in the rough. You know, I think a lot of people, I do believe, you know, could be four quarterbacks go in the first round. It would be Wentz from North Dakota State, probably Goff from Cal. Love the kid from Memphis when you look at Lynch, Paxton Lynch, and what he can do. And I think Connor Cook from Michigan State works his way in the first round. Then some guys, there's a lot of developmental guys. You know, you can look at Christian Hackenberg from Penn State. I think he's a second rounder. And then you look at guys who are projects, like to me, Cardell Jones. He's going to be a mid-rounder out of Ohio State because he's just very raw in his abilities. Dak Prescott from Mississippi State has some very intriguing qualities. And then you have some heady players. A kid who I like who's growing on me is this kid from Western Kentucky, a kid by the name of Brandon Doughty, who I think could be a, fifth, sixth round guy that you could, you know, bring on your team, draft him, and develop him when you look at his skill sets.
You know, Tim, one quick thing about the Bears' offensive line. I think Teo Fabaluje, who they drafted last year, is the real dark horse. If he can come up and play to his ability, his size, his athleticism, and his instincts in the game, I think that could give the luxury of possibly moving a guy like Kyle Long back to the inside. So, again, there's going to be a strict evaluation that we're not going to be privileged to up until the point where they make these choices. But, man, I liked what I saw out of the young kid, Teo Fabaluje, last year, to hopefully he can build on last year's experiences.
He's a prototypical tackle in terms of his size and strength. So that being said, would you move Kyle Long back inside, or is that an indication that maybe Kyle Long goes to the left side?
No. Give me Charles Leno Jr. at the left tackle. If Teo Fabaluje shows me that he has the willingness to be dedicated to be a 16-game right tackle, and then that gives me great luxury with the abilities of Kyle Long. Again, I keep comparing Kyle Long to Bruce Matthews, who came out of my era, who the team plugged him into the position they needed him most almost every year. So, again, there's still an evaluation process. You have to go out there to see some of these young guys.
312-644-6767. Chris from Midway, you're up next after this timeout. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So's former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And I'm Zach Seidman. Chris in Midway, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's a great show.
What's up?
My question, Jim, you had a list of defensive players that the Bears could look at. I'm wondering what offensive players the Bears could be interested in. And since we're so thin at tight end and we could lose both of our tight ends, is there a possibility of getting a Roddy White kind of receiver to play the tight end role?
This year is very thin at tight ends in the draft. You know, I think, again, that's why if you're going to look at the open market, you know, guys that are out there in terms of pass-catching tight ends, whether it's a Kobe Fleener would be a guy from the Indianapolis Colts. You'd also probably have to throw out his buddy Dwayne Allen, who I think is a do-it-all tight end. That guy's an inline blocker and can also catch the football. Top guy rated coming out of college this year is Hunter Henry from Arkansas, 6'5", 253. Think he's the real deal. The other guy who I like is Nick Vanette out of Ohio State. And the reason why I bring him up, he's got kind of Rob Gronkowski kind of traits. He's 6'6", 260 pounds, and I think can be a do-it-all guy. But it's really not a good year for tight ends in the draft. Very thin to win at that position.
You know, the Bears brought in a tight end at the end of the season, and I feel bad because I don't remember his
name.
Rob Housler. I saw him in practice do some impressive things. He can catch the ball. He can run. Now, here's a type of guy that you don't know a lot about to conclude the season, and maybe he will invest himself in the offseason and come back a little bit stronger and show some signs that Zach Miller showed to the Bears when he was with them. So I'm not giving up on the tight end position with the Bears where it's a desperation kind of leap. I do think that they still have the ability to make that position a real helpful part of the offense, receivers and blockers at this point.
Yeah, don't forget they picked up that kid from Houston that a lot of people like, that Kari Lee.
Yes,
from Bowie State. So you know, let's see how that young man develops as well, because he's got some pretty intriguing qualities as well. That guy's a legit 200, close to 70 pounds is what he's sitting at. He's 6'4". He's a lot like Martellus Bennett when you bring it up. So, and then you got, you know, if they re-sign the receiving tight end in Zach Miller, who is going to garner attention, but who knows? Maybe his best home will be back with the Bears.
You know, Zach, too, is a four-position player. When you talk about him being a tight end, an H-back, a backside tight end, and a movable blocker, and he's a contributor on special teams, he did increase his value this year considerably. But, you know, the Bears are attached to him. I hope he has that same attachment to the Bears.
Join the season ticket priority list for the future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We've got a gift certificate to Sports Authority waiting for the best caller of the hour that we'll hand out at the end of the show. Back to the phones we go. Rock Island, Ken, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Ken.
Hi. I was wanting to know what you thought about the possibilities of Shaq Lawson being around when the Bears drafted, and also Ronnie Stanley.
Potentially Shaq Lawson could be there. Clemson, the guy who intrigues me even more out of Clemson would be Kevin Dodd, who I think has more upside as an outside pass rushing linebacker. But definitely Shaq Lawson, that would be in the probably potentially the Bears' wheelhouse. I think, you know, at that point, another guy who intrigues me, who I think the Bears would love, is DeForest Buckner out of Oregon, but he may already be gone with where the Bears select, because I think teams think that highly of him. But
you know,
Shaq
he
Lawson
seems,
potentially be there.
Yeah, and Lawson had a terrific game against Notre Dame on a bad field.
Yep.
out at Clemson. Sorry, Tom, you don't have to look at me that way. But, you know, you talked about Buckner, though, and to me, out of Oregon, physically, doesn't he remind you of a defensive lineman type, like Kyle Long, you know, from just a gifted physically?
Well, to give you the comparable, everybody thinks he's the next Calais Campbell, who is unbelievable
enormous,
for
right,
the Arizona Cardinals. He's probably one of the strongest defensive linemen in the National Football League, and he just commands that type of attention, and that's what the tab, the billing that DeForest Buckner is getting. Very, very impressive young man. I interviewed him at the Combine. Tremendous. High character, tremendous individual, and he can back it up with his physical traits.
You know, one thing that kind of, that doesn't make me nervous, but I always like to look at a lot of tape on the Clemson players, is when you have a lot of good players up front defensively, is one guy so good that he's taking attention away from another, or is some guy getting a little bit higher credit for his ability because he's surrounded by such good players? Like Jadeveon Clowney, when he came out, wasn't the opposite defensive end of his, not as equally as good, but a really good football player that maybe you kind of get a little bit of notoriety because you're playing against with college players that are better than the talent they're playing against on a week-in and week-out basis.
Yeah, and I think the case and the fact that he didn't have a good last year at South Carolina. Everybody's like, maybe shut it down because he didn't want to get hurt. Well, he's been nothing but hurt since he's been in the NFL and just really hasn't been the player. I mean, you think about the guy that's really stepped up for the Houston Texans will be Whitney Mercilus. I mean, that guy is playing tremendous right now opposite J.J. Watt. So I think you bring up good points, Tom, and those are all things that's what everybody wondered about a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. Is he going to go full goal 100% every single play? And I just don't think we've seen it to date from the Houston Texans, and that may, you know, if we'll give him one more year, but technically you could almost already consider that a bust draft when you picked Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, when you look at David Carr, was that his name? The quarterback that they needed so desperately, but they were scared to take.
Oh, man, you know, I look at it like this. When you see Whitney Mercilus, who continues to ascend, Chandler Jones has been a standout player in New England, and at the time the Bears were playing a 4-3 defense, they took Shea McClellan's position is clearly on the inside at linebacker in a 3-4 as opposed to an outside defensive end at a 4-3. Man, what could have been? But that's why this is such a difficult science, the NFL draft. So who was the best call of the hour? I'm going to go with Timothy from Schaumburg, who talked about the draft strategy, because really that's the key going forward with free agency next week. And you want to make sure that you correctly identify guys if you're going to turn this thing around.
You know, I think this is going to be more fun for the Bears fans to watch of the draft because of the uncertainty. We didn't know a lot about Coach Fox and Ryan Pace. Now we know more about them. They have more picks, and there's more they can do this year to help the team.
For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Free agency begins next week. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Thanks for listening on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.